Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another episode of 3GT. That's right, it's your favorite podcast in Argentina, Three Guys Theologizing. We're glad you could join us today for another exciting episode. I am one of the three co-hosts, Scott Hunt, and I'm joined, as usual, by my other two co-hosts, although I was conspicuously absent from our last episode, Life Called. But I'm joined today, as normal, with co-host Kyle Borg from Winchester, Kansas.
Woohoo! The people rejoice.
Both of them. And from Pennsylvania, in the beautiful hill country of Pennsylvania, Barry York, president of Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary and pastor of, River Valley Reformed. Presbyterian Church. Reformed. River Valley Reformed.
Scott!
Well, you and I have pretty generic names for our churches, Kyle.
That's true. It's true. We're kind of the old school Presbyterian where look at that. They have to go all fancy. Look at that. Barry's holding a card up right now showing us how fancy their design is for River Valley. Yeah, that R almost looks like a K. Kiver Valley.
I know you guys are jealous because you're not as hip as I am.
We do wish we had a trendy name for our churches.
Barry.
That's nice, Scott.
I just held up a card that said, "I love you." It's a sweet card I got from my wife. Well, speaking of churches, I know, Kyle, it's gross. You know, my wife does like me. I don't understand why, but she does.
Oh, there are some people that understand why. Go on.
Oh, I don't know who they are. Don't know where they are, but I'm sure there are. Speaking of churches, we just in Marion had a recent celebration of our 10th year anniversary of the organization of our congregation. It was a delightful evening. We had Dr. Barry York come and speak for a time. He gave a sermon and a couple of other pastors who have been involved in the planning of the church. And we celebrated 10 years. And I thought it might, that occasion, I mean, it was nice to see Barry without the constant intrusion of somebody else talking. So I got to just talk to Barry, peacefully for a time.
Wow.
Oh,
although
pardon the intrusion. You keep going, Scott.
But were you not invited, Kyle?
I was.
You were invited. But you chose to stand us up. You wanted to stay in heaven on earth in Kansas. But I thought it'd be a good idea to maybe just give an overview, because we all three of us are in churches, Reformed Presbyterian churches, but we're kind of in different stages of life. We have almost a baby boomer church, a Gen X church, and a millennial type church. Young, old, and medium, right? Although you millennials are getting a little bit old now, Kyle.
It's true. I wouldn't have used the generational. I would have talked about it in reference to steak. We got a rare, we got a well done, but Your Gen X boomer millennial works.
I'm trying to be hip with the kids. They like to talk about those things. So I thought it'd be fun to just get an update from each of the congregations and how things are going and what it's, given the stage of life our particular congregations are in, what are we doing? What are we seeing? How's it going? So there was a coin toss. We could have gone with youngest congregation to the oldest, or oldest congregation to the youngest. And what did we land on? Are we going to youngest to oldest?
Oldest to youngest.
Oldest congregation to youngest. All right, so Kyle, tell us about how things are going at Winchester, and how old is Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church, and all those fun things.
Things are great, Scott. Thanks for asking.
Wonderful.
Winchester is... It's in Northeast Kansas, for any listeners that might not be aware of that. We are located, in case I've never said it, we are about an hour west of Kansas City, about an hour north of Topeka, Kansas. And so we're nestled in the corner. We just celebrated our 157th anniversary. So our church was organized on September 8th of 1868. And not that this isn't really so much a history lesson about our congregations, but you know, the Reformed Presbyterian Church grew a lot via westward migration. And as Covenanter families progressively went west with land grabs and all of those kinds of things, you do see a number of RP congregations that popped up. Winchester is an interesting location. Suffice to say that a lot of our original members, and by a lot, I just mean a couple of the families, had originally traveled to Clarinda, Iowa, and then they wanted to continue westward. The community of Winchester was very near the old military trail that would ultimately lead to Fort Leavenworth and beyond. And so in that sense, it was kind of on a path that was fairly well traversed at that time. And a Covenanter family by the name of the Downies moved here. And soon after, a couple other families joined. And having a group of Covenanters, you know, the big question was, how are we going to worship? And the Iowa Presbytery at the time had a Western Frontier Missionary, which I think is like a sweet title. And it was Josiah Dodds. And he ended up on September 8th, he was called to be the pastor. The congregation was established with a number of families. And I remember reading once in the histories that I think within the first 40 years of our existence, more than 1,000 people had kind of come into membership and left. And so it was a church that experienced a flux in that way. But anyway, we celebrated our 157th anniversary. Things are overall, maybe we can get into more details, but things are going very well. I think this isn't just me being an optimist. In fact, if you know me, I'm not much of an optimist. So I'm sincere when I say it, that at least in my time here, I just crossed the 12-year threshold in July. I think these last 12 years, we have experienced an extended season of blessing. And the Lord just continues to be so very good to us.
Thank you for that brief update. You know, I guess, you know, one of the questions I would have, and Barry, I assume you can ask questions too, but, you know, being in an established congregation like that, a congregation for 157 years existence, is there a lot of things that are just tradition? And I don't mean in terms of worship and those kind of things, but just in terms of activities, you know, fellowship, is there a lot of built-in tradition to that, that you saw when you came 12 years ago and, you know, it's kind of hung on?
Yeah. But I, you know, in my understanding of our congregation's life cycle, some of the traditions that are kept today, are not as old as the congregation. And so, you know, there are certain things. So for instance, probably in the 50s or 60s, I forget when it is, our church began doing a Memorial Day dinner due to the amount of people that just kind of come to visit the cemetery on Memorial Day. That is a tradition that has continued unbroken over the last 50, 60 years, whatever it is. But we don't have any traditions, ongoing traditions that extend to the beginning of our church. You know, there was a time when Winchester, I always laugh about this. So not only the community, but the church got really into hosting croquet tournaments. So this would have been like early 20th century. And that was all the rave, like were these croquet tournaments. On the 4th of July, the congregation used to bring in a big brass band to play on the steps of the church. You know, there were fun things like that. Those things are not continued. I would love to see a croquet tournament pick up here in Winchester, but I've never had the courage to try to figure it out.
And when I hear that, when you talked about the cemetery, just so our listeners understand, there's a large cemetery and behind the church property. I was there one time. It's a beautiful setting back there. But do you still get lots of people coming during Memorial Day, or was that something from the past?
So even in my 12 years, I think we have seen a decrease in people coming. I didn't grow up in a cultural context in southern Minnesota where I don't think people did a lot on Memorial Day. So like when I moved here and they were like, oh, we do this Memorial Day dinner because all these people visit the cemetery. I was like, what? Like, what is that? And there were a lot of people visiting the cemetery. Wow. Even in the last decade, that has significantly dwindled. I think that, you know, the local veterans clubs come and they play memorials at the cemetery. But I also think that as a lot of our vets are getting older and dying, you don't have the younger vets that are really stepping up to carry on some of those traditions. So that I think we've seen that go away as well. So, but it is a beautiful, it's a Reformed Presbyterian cemetery. So, and I forget until some, I think it was the 1940s, it used to be you had to be a covenanter to be buried there. That's no longer the case.
Barry, do you have any other questions or thoughts or comments for Kyle?
No, it's just quaint thinking about having a croquet tournament.
Quaint.
It's just so it's quaint. Quaint.
so property or?
So I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question.
Well, if you're going to have it, you have to have this mapped out, you know?
Yeah, but I told you I lack the courage to plan it. Like I've never gone into planning it.
What you need is a good intern to come out. And I think Barry could probably hook you up. Get a good pastoral intern that will... You tell them that's what they have to do.
I'm waiting with bated breath. Bated breath.
Do you play croquet? You know,
my kids and I love croquet.
So do we. So maybe I need to come out.
I destroy
it together.
Them all the time. That would be fun. So anyway, that's Scott. There's more details I can share, and I think we'll get into. But overall, things are going very, very well.
Good. Well, Barry is the pastor at River Valley, but that's a rather new congregation. So in respecting the order that we're going in, we can talk about Marion for a little bit, where I am and where Barry visited just a couple weeks ago. Marion has been around now. We celebrated our 10th year, and we did that with, having refreshments, having a special time of worship. And it's really been amazing to see how the Lord has worked in Marion. One of the things we did as a congregation is the Lord's Day right before our anniversary, we took photographs of the congregation. And so all the families that are here now that were founding members of the congregation got our picture taken. And then every year we added the members of the congregation who came. And it was really neat to see how the Lord has added families and children to our congregation over the years. And it's just a blessing. It's amazing. I look back at 10 years ago and we've had some saints who have passed away. We've had saints that have had to move on for one reason or another. And, looking back, it's hard. It would have been hard to imagine our church looking the way it does now. But I'm so thankful to the Lord for the way he's brought people. People have moved here from other areas of the country. We have a pretty vibrant university ministry where we have college students in our home nearly every Lord's Day. We have two Christian universities, pretty close to Marion. We are developing those traditions, right? We don't have anything that's no croquet or anything like that. But, we're doing things like Reformation Days and, we're finding our footsteps and getting things kind of squared away, like the fellowship lunch schedule, that's all worked out. And so it's interesting. I feel like kind of an adolescent. I'm no longer a child. Well, our congregation is no longer a child, but we're still growing, still maturing. I mean, we're nowhere near 157 years, but you have something to say, Kyle?
Yes, but I'm not going to. Go on.
I could see the look on his face. What were you going to say, Kyle? It's all right.
I was going to say, if you feel that you have personally contributed to the growth and the maturing of the congregation, or if you feel that your presence has hindered that a little bit.
Well, I'll let the listeners decide that. I imagine I am. Well, I won't say it.
I'll answer for you, Scott. You want me to answer for you?
Yeah, answer for me, Barry.
So we were reflecting on the development of the work, which was daughtered out of the Kokomo congregation when I was a pastor there, and then others continued when I came out this way. But I got to see Scott and Al. One of the things I was sharing that evening was to see Scott and Allison and others from Marion come over to Kokomo. I counted one year we had 80 visitors in a year period from Marion. Some of them were only once, but others kept coming, and Scott and Allison were such a big part of that. So it's been fun to see Scott just grow, and he's really one of the bedrocks of the congregation. He's a faithful elder there. So I don't have any hesitancy patting this guy on the
back.
That's
great. That's as King Solomon says, let another praise you. So,
although looking back at when I was going to Kokomo, I'm sure you thought, man, what's going on with this guy? I had longer hair. I had, it's been fun to be able to grow with the congregation. And, you know, I do feel like I've matured as a result of the congregation and just being a part of it from the beginning. You know, you can't rely on, it's like when you move out of the house, you can't rely on mom and dad anymore. You're kind of on your own. And I think we're doing great. We have a pastor, Murray, been here for 3 years. He's doing fantastic. And since he's come, and this is nothing, you know, I love Pastor Camry, who our previous pastor, who's still around, still serving on our session. But the Murrays brought children with them. And that brings kind of a vibrancy to a congregation that, you know, the older folks don't have. And so we have a lot of young children. I think we have 6 or 7 that are under 2 right now, or just now 2. So it's fun to see them grow, watch the covenant promises of the Lord be poured out on those families. So that's kind of where we are as a congregation. Thankfully, we bought a building in 2017 from another denomination, kind of like I think River Valley did. And we had a daycare that was in that building when we bought it. And one of the agreements was we'd let the daycare remain. And mercifully, they moved on a few years ago. So that's been a real blessing for us. Mm-hmm. So with that, Barry, tell us a little bit about what's going on at River Valley.
Well, we are the babe in the mix because we're still just 1 year old in terms of organization. We were organized in the beginning of 2024. But the Lord has just been so good. I've been involved in some other church plants, and this one has just been so incredibly blessed. And it's all of God. I mean, just the Lord doing only what the Lord can do. Part of it is, you know, the benefit of being a daughter work, where it came out of a very stable, older congregation, College Hill at the edge of Geneva's campus. And they were incredibly generous to us and supportive of us and sent, you know, we came with elders and deacons, and so it's just been a great blessing that way. And they supported us financially. We actually were given our building, our buildings, by a former Baptist church that was dwindling in size, but had some very faithful people there. And when we started worshiping in their building, they decided to cancel their services and worship with us, and eventually decided to close and just gift all this property to us, which includes a nice church building, a fellowship hall that's detached, another home on the property that we're using for our pastor. So it's just been a real blessing. I served as organizing pastor, but the whole plan was always for me to, or for us to have someone else come and be full time. And so we called Ian Gillis from Scotland, and he's been here now a year, just this week as we're recording. And it's just been such a pleasure. Ian and I work well together. I'm still helping with preaching, but I'm just slowly turning leadership things over. He became the moderator of the session a number of months ago, and he's just doing a great job serving, visitations, those kinds of things. So it's fun to work together with him. The Lord is blessing us with growth. We're just keep seeing people visiting, and it seems like we get done with, or not even done with, one membership class. It might just have a few people in it, but there's more people wanting to talk about membership. So that's been encouraging. We're having some evangelistic opportunities. Ian really cultivated a relationship with I don't know the particular name of it, but it was a small group of people trying to overcome drug addictions. And they were meeting in the fellowship hall, and Ian befriended them. And then we had an outreach, a service for people struggling with addictions. And all these people came and brought friends. And then just even this week, as we're recording, through that friendship, he's invited them to a Bible study. And there were like 6, 7, 8 guys that showed up for this Bible study. So it's exciting to see the congregation not just being content with what we're doing, but wanting to reach out. And I could share other stories along those lines. And God's also been providing us with what we might call more natural growth. We have, I think there's 6 ladies, including my daughter, who's pregnant. And in October, those babies are going to start being coming to us. So we're looking forward to filling up our nursery with a new wave of babies. So just praise to the Lord for his goodness, and we're very thankful.
Man, I feel like I should, that's all, I'm very encouraged to hear that. Both of you guys, I feel like I shortchanged my congregation a little bit. You guys are here sharing all these.
There are more, Kyle. It's all right.
Yeah. So no, but you guys, you know, the blessings that you guys recount just make me think of my congregation as well, and wonderful things going on. You know, Barry, you and Scott, you both said, you know, children are a huge blessing, and Winchester has been experiencing that. You know, every now and then we have a monthly prayer meeting, and a couple months ago, maybe 3 times a year, we print out a list of all of our membership, and then we pray for everybody by name. And I was really struck when we did that a couple months ago. We had 101 people on our list of members in our church, and I think 35 were young people or children. And that's something for which we are tremendously thankful. You know, both of you shared blessings about your building. Our building was built in 1903. I've said this in a previous podcast, but we have a huge basement project, renovation project going on. Our north wall was collapsing and causing some problems. And so we've been in the middle of that, and the Lord has very kindly blessed us through the generosity of many. You know, a congregation like ours, I mean, it's interesting to hear you guys talk about some of this. You know, we've never really had to worry about building issues in 3 generations. You know, there's probably nobody alive in our congregation that has ever walked through significant building expenditures. And so that's a new season for us as a congregation to be thinking about that. And like I said, the Lord is abundantly blessing us through those efforts and generosity of friends of the congregation and other congregations in the RPCNA. So we're really thankful for that. So anyway, you guys just made me think of the blessings that are here, and I feel like I shortchanged Winchester by not highlighting a couple of them.
Well, to be fair, Kyle, you never shortchange Winchester. You always say it is heaven on earth. And I assume you're talking
Which
about
it
your
is.
Congregation.
Which, yes, I am.
So you never shortchange Winchester. One of the things, the questions I have is, you know, oftentimes in our congregations, you have people who travel a bit of a distance to get to your church. And I didn't know if your church is still experience that. You know, Barry, you were talking about Marion having to, you know, Allison and I traveling to Kokomo for a number of years. And there were several people from Marion that traveled over to Kokomo. But are your congregants pretty local? Are they, you know, what does that demographic look like for you guys?
Yeah, for our congregation, for the most part, and again, we were actually aiming for the north side of the Ohio River in the Beaver area where I live, but because of this building opportunity, we went across the Ohio River into Monaca. But that didn't really, I mean, that's not, you know, Beaver's like 5 minutes down the road and this is 12. So it's not very far at all for us. And I would say the vast majority of our congregation lives within a 15-minute drive. Now we started getting some people from Ohio, Eastern Ohio that are coming. We just had a family join from there. And so there are a few people driving at a distance, but not for the most part.
Yeah, you know, it depends on what you define as driving a distance, but you know, we are located here in Winchester proper, and I think we only have 4 or 5 households who are like living within the fake city limits of Winchester. And we get some people in the countryside surrounding the community, but we also pull, there are people that travel 15, 20 minutes. Fort Leavenworth is just 30 minutes away from Winchester. And Leavenworth is primarily a school base. And many men who are moving up in rank from captain to major have a school that they go to. And so every year they get about 2,000 students. And almost inevitably, we pick up a couple, at least one, two families from Leavenworth to just be with us for a short time. We love them. They usually are some of our favorite families. They just, it's fun to have them. It's always sad to see them go. But so we have people driving from that distance, but we pull primarily from our own county is where we would draw most of our membership.
Do you have anyone from Oskaloosa?
We have, well, not Oskaloosa. So I think there's one or two members who have an Oskaloosa address, but okay, they don't live in Oskaloosa itself. Why do you care about Oskaloosa?
I just like saying it.
It's a great name. It's a great name.
Really? That's it?
Yeah,
you just like saying the name.
I just like to say
it. It's a great name, Oskaloosa.
How far away is Oskaloosa?
10 minutes away. My daughter works there. So there's a coffee shop there that she works at. So
very nice.
It's a suburb of Winchester.
Nice. That's what we like to think of it as a suburb of Winchester.
Suburb of Winchester. So Kyle, how big is Winchester?
413 people, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Barry, how big is, you know, Beaver or wherever your church is?
Yeah, it's like, I couldn't tell you readily the demographics of Monaca where we're located. It's several thousand, but there are all these small communities just all in Pennsylvania. They're just all clustered together, and you can go around a curve or cross a river and you're in another community, and they're all divided up that way. But the greater area has, you know, tens of thousands of people in this particular geographical area.
Okay.
You know, Scott, I used to brag, if I'm, you know, not in a sinful way, but Winchester is 400 people. Our church rolls have 101 people on it. You know, that's, if the LA church, if the LARP church were able to get that kind of numbers, they'd be like a million strong. So.
Oh, yeah. Probably more. Yeah. I mean, that's a quarter of the population you have in your church.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Well, if they all came from Winchester.
But they don't all come from Winchester.
No. So do you guys have anything fun or exciting coming up that in your church, any celebrations, any activities or fun events that you guys are planning?
We have had a deacon election. We talked about that in the last episode, and we'll be examining and ordaining those men. So we're looking forward to that if they all accept. We're also... we're planning a fall festival. We are located right in a neighborhood, and it's predominantly Catholic. And it's been great. Ian and Shelby, their family, live there. And they've just been building relationships with people. And they're using this fall festival that we'll have on the church property as a way of extending invitations. So we're looking forward to that in October.
Good.
So, you know, I mentioned earlier that we've got this massive project going on in our basement. The company was supposed to start on that on August 18th, and then general contractors sometimes get a little behind. And then when you add weather on top of that, it has rained at some pivotal points, and they need a bit of a dry spell. So Unfortunately, the work hasn't even yet begun on our basement. And I just say that because aside from morning and evening worship, we've really hit the brake on all of our other activities because we have the basement cordoned off. And so it's kind of a slow, slightly boring fall for us. I mean, we meet for worship morning and evening, and hopefully when the building's going to get jacked up on stands as they rebuild that wall, hopefully we can continue to meet in the building. We got to talk to the general contractor about that. Otherwise, we'll just take to the open fields, the
Very
old
nice.
Covenanter way. So, you know, to answer your question, like I said, it's a bit of a boring fall, a fairly slow fall because we're just kind of waiting on this project.
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned it already, you know, we had our 10-year anniversary service, which was kind of the highlight of our fall activities. It was good to see. We had families who had moved away come and visit, and families that we used to be close with, we're still close with, but used to worship with weekly in Kokomo come visit. Obviously, Barry came, visited. So that was a real blessing to bless a time for us. We have a work day coming up. I don't know if you guys do that around your congregation. Where, you know, you get all the stuff done on the building that just needs to get done, you know, weeds pulled, trees trimmed, all that fun stuff. So we have that coming up. That's usually a fun day because it's about 50% work and 50%, you know, chit chat and catching up with each other. So I always look forward to a work day. Well,
could you write a letter? Right? I brought up a work day once at our session meeting and I just, the church was getting a little dusty, a little dirty. And I thought, you know, you guys want to schedule a work day? And with all the enthusiasm that could be mustered, the answer was no, not really. So if you want to write a letter of recommendation, maybe we could get a work day in Winchester.
So here's what I remember work days at Kokomo when you were there. And oftentimes, you know, there was a lot of spinning of wheels at work days, but the fellowship is fantastic. And just being around other families in that kind of setting is always fun. Is that a fair statement about work days in Kokomo? Sometimes.
Yeah, I think somebody might have written a story about one of those times. And
yes, I think. Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, we had a work day.
Garrison Keller, is that his name?
We had after one work day, we found out that the toilet had been hooked up to the hot water instead of the cold water. I think a lady found that out.
That's the danger of work days, isn't it?
You know, yes.
Get amateurs in there doing things, but no, that's fun. Well, it's been exciting. It's been fun and a pleasure to hear how the Lord's working in your congregations. I hope, you know, the same can be said about Marion. I am excited about what the Lord's doing in Marion. Yes, Barry.
Oh, just one of the things I just wanted to add in case you're getting ready to close is,
I am.
It's so easy for people to look at a church or a denomination and, you know, woe is me type of thing. I've certainly heard those comments, but I don't know. The RPCNA is certainly not the largest denomination in the world, that's for sure. But it is a blessed denomination. And God is doing some really wonderful things, not only in our own circles here in this continent, but around the world, and the connectivities that we have with so many brothers and sisters around the world, just it's wonderful to see those things. And I'm very grateful for my Reformed brethren and other denominations, but there's some unique things the Lord is doing with our little churches and our little denomination. And for that, we wanted to give him praise today.
Yeah, that is true. And you know, when it's not a church, but one of the oldest institutions represented in our podcast is actually the seminary, right? I mean, how old is the seminary, Barry?
That's right. 215 years strong.
Not a church.
I didn't say it was a church.
I know. I'm emphasizing. You actually said it wasn't, and I'm just emphasizing. So,
but you know, a faithful institution of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, 215. Is that right?
That's right. Founded in 1810.
We'll have to hear some details about that. You know, we don't have anything to give away on today's episode. You know, sometimes we'll give away books or whatever if you answer questions. But, you know, listeners, I think it would be fun if you fill our inbox at 3gt.xyz@gmail.com with just updates on your congregation and the things that you are encouraged about in your local congregation and how the Lord is working. And maybe if we get some good ones, we can read them on the, on, you know, a future podcast or something. Just, you know, just something to try to get some interaction with our listeners. It's always good to hear from you. We do love hearing from you, and you can subscribe, I think, is it Apple Podcast, Kyle? I don't have Apple Podcast, but you can subscribe there. That's
you
a
can.
Nod.
Yes. Yes, you can.
Okay. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcast. You can find us on the internet at 3gt.xyz. You can always reach out to us at 3gt.xyz@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. We love being with you. Hopefully, we try on a weekly basis. Doesn't always work out, but we love being with you. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of 3GT.